Chametz is an incredibly fascinating study. It is, of course, ma'achalos asuros, right? That there is an iser of achilas ha-chametz, but it already stands out in many, many, many different ways. Now, in many ways, which we're going to focus on in the Shir HaKdama, we could talk about the iser chametz being very expansive, having many dimensions of iser beyond standard ma'achalos ha-asuros. But Levi, to begin with, it's very important to note that for the most part, we might say that chametz is extremely limited vis-a-vis its relationship with all other ma'achalos asuros. How so?
Only 7 days a year.
It's an iser zman. That's correct. And so, in the realm of ma'achalos asuros, we always have to ask the question, it's the question, are we dealing with an iser achila, an iser gavra, or are we dealing with an iser chavtza, ma'achalos ha'asuros? And chametz defies simple categorization, because unlike nevela, or trefa, or ever minachai, or chelev, or dam, where there's clearly ma'achalos ha'asuros at play, there's an iser chavtza, right? When it comes to chametz, it's possible that for 7 days a year it takes on that status. But it would be quite a remarkable thing that something goes from being a staple of human existence, admittedly, lo al halechem levado yichye ha'adam, ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichye ha'adam, but the reality is, imein kemach ein Torah, to something which is a cheftza di isura, and then all of a sudden, you know, reverts back to its perhaps natural state of heter. It would be, in that way, sui generis, completely distinct from all other ma'achalos asuros cheftza de isura. Meidach, if one wanted to take perhaps a more conservative or safer approach to stay away from the notion of an isur cheftza, I'm not saying that this is what I believe, I'm just trying to catalog a variety of possibilities, one might take the position that the Isser Chametz isn't really an Isser Chavtza, but it is in fact. Ilan, go ahead.
An Isser Gavra?
That's right. It's an Isser Gavra. That for 7 days, a person is not permitted to eat this particular substance. We have models in Halacha of Ma'achalos that are Mutaros, in essence, but the Gavra is restricted from eating them for a specific amount of time. What's the, you know, most obvious comparison, the most obvious analog, leave? Nothing wrong with a particular food, but you think of multiple analogs here. There's not only one correct answer, but Ben Sion, I saw you raising your hand.
I'll say nausea.
Okay, so, you know, the Nazir generates it himself, which is sort of like the fascinating aspect of Nazir. Okay, it's in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam codifies Chametz and Nazir right next to each other, so you're probably onto something. Noam?
I like a Shvuah and Neder.
Okay, right, so that's, you know, what that's basically what Ben Sion is saying. Shimi?
Maser?
Okay, so we'll come back to that in just a second. I think that's extremely helpful. Yaakov?
Gidanasha.
Well, Gidanasha, you know, it's a chafza di sura, right? It's not like it becomes, you know, mutter at any point. Just 1 second, my wife just needs me for 1 second. All right. Okay, so what else besides, I thought that suggestion was a very interesting one of Zraim. We'll come back to that. I think that's important. Eitan?
Basar v'chalav?
Okay, so basar v'chalav is fascinating, because once it's created, right, the Gemara Masechta Chulin does say basar v'chalav is a big chiddush, because the component parts are mutter, but once it's created, Derech Bishul Asra Torah, it should be, right, in Isser forever. It's a Chafta di Sura. Israel? Okay, so that is a very important one. I'm glad that you touched on that. Ilan Goldstein?
Is that what it's called, when you can't eat the fruit from a tree?
Orla, yeah. Orla. Okay, that's going to be very important. And Ilan Agus?
Yom Kippur?
Yeah, okay, so that's I think, the two models that we're looking for are Yom Kippur and really Orla. So Yom Kippur and Tosfos in the first parak of Chulin touches exactly on this issue. When you talk about Yom Kippur, there's certain kinds of foods that you're allowed to eat, totally mutter, right? No status of machalos asuros, but there's an isur achilas agavra for a particular amount of time. And so Yom Kippur is a very fascinating study, right? Because, 2 hours ago, not only was this mutter, but especially, ochel v'sosa b'chi, ma'ale ani alicham kilu hisanisem chi v'asiri, a mitzvah to eat this. And it will go back to being at least mutter to eat. And then for a limited window of time, it's completely impermissible. So that is an Isser Gavra, clearly. And that is one model that we might think about in terms of Chametz, especially if we're going to take the position that Chametz la'achar zmano is really mutter min ha-Torah, which seems to be a very representative position in the Rishonim. We'll see it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but that's at least part of what's at stake there. Okay, so that's a very, very important piece of analysis. Now, Ilan Agus, back to you. Tosis and Chulin, the first parak, when they're trying to figure out what the nafkamina is between machalos asuros, when we have an Isser Chafsa, and an Isser Achilas Agavra, what do they suggest? Very important, Tosfos. That only
was about Rav Pinchas Ben Yair.
Good, excellent. That's the topic. And what's their conclusion?
It wouldn't be considered Timtum Alev.
Exactly. So Machalos Asuros are Mitamtim Es Halev, and Isser Achila is not Mitamtim Es Halev. Ilan, right, they're not encouraging eating on Yom Kippur. They're just saying Chayiv Kares, but there's not going to be this metaphysical impact. Okay, so that model would be very, very helpful and illustrative, if indeed it could be deemed relevant to Chametz bePesach. Ilan, we'll see that there are many challenges to this, that it's not as simple as an equation of saying multiply Yom Kippur times 7, and you have an explanation for all of the variegations that we see when it comes to Chametz. Now, Israel, let's go back to what you were saying. This is what you and Ilan Goldstein were arguing, right, is that we have this kind of a hybrid. We studied Arla a little bit last year when we did the Ketzad Mevarchem supplement. So Arla is a very fascinating study because what you have is you have something which we can't benefit from. The Isser Arla, Isser Achila, even Isser Hanoah, and then you have Neta Revai, you have Karim Revai, okay? Whatever one holds. And all of a sudden, it's the same fruit tree, right? But all of a sudden, the fifth year, the apples or whatever it is, they're completely permissible. And the question is, how do we think about the first 3 years? Do we think of those fruits as being metaphysically different? Was it machalos ha'asuros? Or is there an Isser Achilas Hagavra that's bound by time? Well, it's not so simple, but there are different stadim, but there's a limitation, Israel, to the analogy. And what's the obvious limitation? Arla is extremely helpful, but perhaps mostly as a foil, because
the matter of time applies more to not to the person but to the object.
Good. And just to make it very concrete, Untatem kol eitz machal va'araltem arlo es peryo. The point is that from the moment that it's planted, it's aser until it's mutter. Masha'en kein chametz. It was mutter, and then it was aser, and then it was mutter again. So chametz already is a very complicated topic to try to figure out. Are we dealing with machalos hasuros, albeit for a limited amount of time? Are we dealing more with an Isser Achilas Hagavra? So that's already the first Shas perspective that we want to bring to bear on our study of Chametz. Now, part of what we're going to look at, and this is now already in the direction of the way that Chametz is far more expansive, is, you know, if you think that it's an Isser Chafza, you're going to want to see some other indications. It's not just an Isser Achilas Hagavra, but an Isser Chafza, Machalos Hasuros, will typically implicate other questions as well. What are some of the other questions? If it was really a Chafza di Isura, some of the other issues that we'd probably expect to see, you know, on the table. Tarte Mashma. Yehuda?
The rules involving Jalem.
Okay, very important. So how do we relate to issues of Hechsher Kalim? Critically important. Hetera Bala, Isura Bala. Excellent. Very, very important. Shimmy?
If it were, if the Chafza was Asur, then you'd also expect some sort of Isur of ownership, which I believe exists.
Oh, okay, so now we're already talking, right? So questions of Isur Hanah, Isur Bailus, Isur Rishus, multiple types of Isurim in that area. That would already, Shimmy, seem to point us away from an Isur Achilas Hagavra, right? Nobody said you have to divest yourself of ownership of food on Yom Kippur. You just can't eat it, right? Mash Ein Kein, if we're dealing with an Isser Chafza, so all of a sudden the Chafza is stigmatized in all kinds of ways. Hanoah, Bailus, maybe even on the Asay side, you have to destroy things. You know, so that's going to be a very important indicator as well. So in trying to figure out, you know, where we stand on this issue of Isra Achilas Hagavra versus Machalos Asuros, Timtum Halev is an important place to start, but obviously it is not the sum total of the conversation. So we have, a very, very important line of inquiry that we want to try to get our hands around this semester. And we'll see that basically everything that we look at this semester can be folded back into this one central line of inquiry, Isser Achilas Hagavra, Isser Chafza. Chametz is much more limited. It's an Isser Zman, clearly for 7 days. And on the other hand, right, we're going to find all kinds of expansions during that time, which really challenge our notions of standard Machalos Ha'asuros. One further introductory point before we take a look at Psukim. So if I were, you know, imagining that this is maybe Machalos Asuros plus. Okay, maybe it's Machalos Asuros Shimi with some other dimensions, like Hana'ah or Bailus. So where would we expect the Rambam to codify it? Not a trick question. In what set of Halachos? Yeah, exactly. Machalos Asuros and Sefer Kedusha. And by the way, the Rambam does reference Chametz there in certain locations when he's dealing with Dinei Tarovis and questions of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. It's not as if it's completely absent from there. But, oh, by the way, right, there's an entire section of Halachos that are devoted to the Isser Chametz. It's a fascinating title. Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. It's not an accident that the Rambam called it that. It's categorically impossible that it could be an accident that the Rambam should call anything anything. But Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, which is in which part of the Mishnah Torah?
Hazmanim.
It's in Sefer Hazmanim. Exactly right. And that is absolutely critical, David. That is absolutely critical. The Rambam very deliberately chose not to present this within Machalos Asuros, where the Rambam, by the way, deals with Gid Hanasha, where the Rambam, by the way, deals with Basar B'Chalav. The Rambam evidently felt that Chametz deserved its own set of halachos. And I don't think it's a quantitative issue in terms of the 5 prakim that have to deal with Chametz, and the 6th parak, which has to deal with matzah, and the 7th and 8th prakim, or Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I think the Rambam understood that somehow Sefer Zmanim Chametzu Matzah tells the story of Pesach. It's not Hilchos Pesach, it's Hilchos Chametzu Matzah. But the Moed is defined by this particular institution. It's a remarkable thing. It's hard to even develop an analog in halacha. It's a remarkable idea. Hilchos Chametzu Matzah instead of Hilchos Pesach. Now there's Hilchos Karban Pesach, right? That's part of the world of Avodah and Korbanos, naturally. But, when it's Yom Kippur, it's Hilchos Shvisas Asar. And there's Hilchos Megillah V'Chanukah. And there's Hilchos Shabbos. But there's no Hilchos Pesach. It's Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. And so, that categorization in its own right, outside of the standard Machalos Asuros, Halachos tells you that Chametz U'Matzah really might be its own world, a world unto itself. Maybe it's not easily definable as a pure Isser Achilas HaGavra or a Cheftza Di Isura. Maybe it's something that defies simple, natural categorization. There will be points of interface and interaction with natural Machalos Hasuros, and yet Chametz, and in particular Chametz, is going to stand out and chart its own path, its own course, through all of these topics. So let's begin by taking a look at Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Shmos. It's after where the famous Rashi at the beginning of this week's parsha thought the Chumash might begin, Perek Yud Beis, HaChodesh HaZalachem, and we'll appreciate, though not immediately, why I'm choosing Perek Yud Gimel as our point of departure for a course of study in what is Hilchos Chametz. Perek Yud Gimel is the aftermath of Makas Bechoros. It's the interlude in the Torah between Kriyas Yamsuf on the one hand and Makas Bechoros in the background. Hey, Perek Yud Beis, we have the introduction of the Karban Pesach, obviously Kiddush HaChodesh, Karban Pesach, Makas Bechoros, already in Perek Yud Daled, B'Shalach Paro Es Ha'am, leading up to Kriyas Yamsuf. It's an interlude. Obviously, the two sections of Perek Yud Gimel constitute two of the four parshios of Tefillin, but for now, let's try to discern what the motif of this perek is, these two separate parshios, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, V'Haya Ki Yivyacha, and if we can discern the motif and the intersection between this motif and the Yisr Chametz, we'll be in very good position. So, Reb Aaron, why don't you do the honors?
I didn't see a source sheet. I never saw one. There we go. It's not letting me click on it. It's not opening up. Oh, there we go.
Reb Aaron, you have it? You know what, Reb Aaron, I'm getting some very bizarre feedback. Like there's some kind of a hostile extraterrestrial takeover of your Zoom account. So just, we'll try to get that fixed. And in the meantime, let me just throw it over to Asher Rausman, okay? Not your fault. It's just, there's some, sounds like I said, some kind of. Yeah, just for the beginning, if you don't mind. Yeah. Okay, Yaakov Sachs, you want to take over? Right. So in this, Perek long reflection on Yetzias Mitzrayim is a amalgam of mitzvos, tefillin, kedushas bechor, right, peter chamor, arefas chamor, if we don't do pidyon, sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, zachar sayom hazeh v'gad levincha. There's a lot here. There's no doubt. And interspersed with all of these mitzvos and many different mitzvos, so we have, of course, references, multiple references to Yisurei Chametz. Lo Yachel Chametz, and of course, Bal Yira'a, and Bal Yira'a in the dual sense of the term, Lo Yira'elecha Chametz, Lo Yira'elecha Sa'ar, Bechol Gvulecha. So we have that. But if you had to sort of discern the motif, what would the motif be? There's a lot, but there seems to be a very clear thread that runs through all of these mitzvos. Go ahead, Yaakov. We're sticking with you. Right. So the what it appears to be about is a reflection that Yetzias Mitzrayim was a manifestation of Yad Chazaka. So I'm not asking this as a trick question. I just want you to define the terms. What do we mean by that? The Yisr Chametz is presented within the context of a theme in Torah Shebichsav of Yad Chazaka. What does that mean? I understand that it's an anthropomorphism, but what does it even mean? Asher, go ahead. And then Eitan.
Divine intervention?
Right, so, okay, certainly Hashem is driving events. This is divine intervention. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the paradigmatic example in Chumash and probably all of human history of divine intervention, of providence. Eitan, go ahead.
It was a manifestation of Hashem's power, his control over the world.
Right. So that seems like a very important point. Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we want to reflect on the notion of divine power, awesome divine power. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is, Exhibit A. That's the famous line that the Ramban has, in Sefer Dvarim, when he's talking about the relationship between Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Anybody want to just remind us? This is Eitan's point here. The Ramban says, yeah, it's true. Shabbos is, you know, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. But if you really want to understand what that means, it's probably easier to conceptualize it as not so much that Shabbos is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Yetzias Mitzrayim is Zecher Shabbos. If you don't believe that Hashem could create the world, so what's probably a good indicator that he did, that he can, that, in fact, it's MS. Go ahead, Shimmy.
Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Yeah, the notion that Hashem was able to overturn nature indicates that he is the very author of nature. Okay, that's exactly right. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zecher L'Shabbos, right? It's the ultimate proof that Hashem is the one who created the world and rested, as we read about in this week's parsha, you know, Vayanach Vayom HaShvi'i. That is the essential analysis there of the Ramban. Okay, so just one further point, then I'll turn it over to Noam. So Eitan and Yaakov, you're both absolutely correct, and Asher as well, that the presentation, the Psukim, is all about Chozek Yad. Right, that's the origin of the mitzvah of Tfilin. Right? Yad Cha, Male, Yad Keah, your weaker hand. So when we talk about Hashem's power and the Yisr Chametz being presented within that context, Hashem's power as opposed to what? David?
I think like the power of the former their former masters in Egypt.
Right, as opposed to human power. But probably, David, not just as opposed to the Egyptians, Koach, but even to the role that Klal Yisrael played, right? Well, there's one of these great themes. If you look at the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, probably the two greatest moments of salvation, Makas Bechoros and Kriyas Yamsuf, what's the Tzad HaShava Shebeinehem? In both cases, what were the Jewish people doing? You can sum this up in one word. Shimmy?
Waiting.
Yeah, nothing. Ve'atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach beso ad boker. And what about at Kriyas Yamsuf? Hashem yilachem lachem. Ve'atem tachrishun. So you have awesome divine power, and what we're not interested in terms of this story, we're not interested in human contribution. Very fascinating. V'gad to levincha b'yom ahuli mor ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mi'mitzrayim. It's a remarkable perspective. It's his chozek yad. That's the motif of these psukim. And it's within this context that we have v'lo ye'achel chametz, lo ye'ra'lecha chametz, v'lo ye'ra'lecha se'ar b'chol gvulecha. So we have this divestment from chametz in the context of Torah Shebichsav reflecting on awesome divine power. That's going to be very important. We can't fully appreciate the meaning of this now, but hopefully over the course of the week all of this will become very, very clear. Noam, go ahead. You've been waiting patiently. Much like the Jews of Egypt.
I disagree with the Ramban that Yetzias Mitzrayim proves that Hashem created the world. Because, like, I don't know, let's say Kim Jong-un could, like, reasonably expect all of North Korea to believe that he founded North Korea just because he currently holds power. Then the guy could say, no, I founded North Korea. All it shows is that Hashem currently, like, controls the world.
I appreciate the originality, the comparison. I've never, had occasion in the past to reflect on, you know, in this context. But what I would say is the thrust of the Ramban is that Yetzias Mitzrayim was such a powerful overturning of all of the laws of nature, that the analogy that you drew upon doesn't necessarily follow, right? That everybody knew the way things were running, right? There was Yom and Laila, you know, or in a choshech, and all of a sudden, you know, choshech hafila b'cholaretz mitrayim shloshes yamim lo ro ish es achiv v'lo kamu ish mitachtav. That's the point. It's the reversals and the overpowering. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, very good. So these psukim will be very, very critical for our purposes, but for now, let's turn our attention to more halachic sources. So the next section, which you see here, I titled it Me'ever L'machalos HaSuros, instead of just a standard Isser Achila with a corresponding, you know, Isser Malkos, right? An Onesh. What we start to see when we just study the Sefer HaMitzvos is a massive explosion. There's no other, you know, just absolutely no other way to describe it, but a total explosion in terms of the Isurim. So again, dialectically, Chametz is very limited in its time, right? Shivas Yamim. And on the other hand, for those Shivas Yamim, it's explosive in terms of its potency and the scope of the Isur. So let's just begin to catalog this. We're not going to exhaust this list today, but let's at least begin to appreciate how the Rambam, for one, classified and codified the full range that we're dealing with. Yehuda, go ahead. This is the 197th prohibition out of 365 in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So this is his Hiranu.
Hiranu me okel chametz pesach.
So believe it or not, the Rambam derived it from Perikid Gimel. Very convenient for our purposes, right? Lo yachel chametz. Ubiyar shehu.
Yerkas.
Bikares. V'amar ki kol ochel chametz. Okay, so the Rambam begins. Right, so the Rambam begins his presentation in terms of the Sefer HaMitzvos. He goes for the jugular. He wants the Isser Kares. The Rambam of the Sefer HaMitzvos says it's derived from Lo Ye'achel Chametz. Very fascinating. And the Rambam tells us, so it belongs to Averos HaChamuros. Ilan A, just remind us what I mean when I say Averos HaChamuros.
Akaris Misas Bezdin.
Right. So standard Machalos HaSuros, again, just to remind us, we would have expected, yeah, Nevela, Trefa. I'm not saying that there aren't Basar B'chalav, Gid Hanasha. I'm not saying there aren't exceptions. Tevel is Misa B'dei Shamayim. We understand. Right? There's a Mi'ila aspect there. Nosar, Pigul, Tameh. Again, all more Chamor. Yom HaKippurim. Chelev. Certain kinds of Dam. This alone would not be, you know, sufficient evidence, but it's already suggestive of something far more expansive. Right, Ilan? Because what you're doing is you're going from Heter Gamur to an Isser Kares. That's why your raising Yom Kippur was, right, so important. That would only be the only analog that we have. So the Rambam says the makar for this is lo yachel chametz, and there's another pasuk that tells us ki chol ochel chametz v'nichrasa hanefesh hahi. Very fascinating. Machalos asuros translating into an iser kares. So that alone, you guys are hearing me okay? Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me okay. Okay, so the Isser Kares is already suggestive, but it's not dispositive. It's not like it proves, you know, anything so far, but it's, you know, it's important. And the Rambam starts there. And that's the beginning of his presentation at Sefer HaMitzvos. Correspondingly, in the Yad HaChazakah, in Chametz U'Matzah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, so let's take a look at the language of the Rambam. Avi Tepler, go ahead. I'm still doing Tashlumin for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. we'll see that that Simchas Beis HaShoeva will be conceptually relevant as well. But, you know, had I known that Avi was going to be, you know, exiting, I would have deviated from the Zoom order. It would have taken matters into my own hands. Okay, so Avi, go ahead. Okay, so take it away. Go ahead, Avi. Give us the analysis.
There seems to be no differentiation between regular achila and any other forms of achila. So, or any other forms of or use. So it seems more like on the ma'achalos asuros side than just an iser gav, than the classical iser gavra.
Okay, excellent. So very well done. So let's you know, just key in on some, you know, nikudos here. The Rambam stays away from lo yachel chametz and goes straight for ki kol ochel chametz v'nechrasa. That's a point. Avi raises a critically important point. The Nosei Kelim have a field day with this, that you might have said that's true of achila, but that's not going to be true if you take the chametz and you put it in a blender and your memacha v'shosa, you change its state of matter from a solid to a liquid. You could say that's shelo kederech. So at the very least, that's not going to be an iser kares. Maybe it's still, you know, an iser daraisa. Maybe not. But the chametz, like, retains its identity even after you blended it down, which is really fascinating. And not just retained its identity, but it retains its own esh. That, I think, is really important. But if you were to ask me the most important thing in this Rambam,
I lost it for a second.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Let me just go back. I apologize. So I was saying two things. Number one, the Rambam stays away from the makor that he used in the Sefer Mitzvos. Not lo ya'achel chametz. He goes straight for the pasuk with kares. Ki kol ochel chametz v'nechrasa. Everybody's hearing okay? Okay, good. Ki kol ochel chametz v'nechrasa. When the Rambam wants to impress us, he does this with Korban Pesach. The Rambam does this when it comes to Bris Milah. When the Rambam very often wants to impress us with the gravity of an institution, what the Rambam does is he hits us over the head with the Isser Kares. It's a bold statement. So that's point number one. Avi, you correctly identified point number two, which the Nosei Kelim have a very long discussion about, isn't this Shelo Kederech? If you take a piece of chametz and you blend it down and you liquefy it, so the fact that it should even be considered chametz, let alone retain the Isser Kares, is far from obvious. And yet the Rambam is telling us that chametz is chametz is chametz. You know, you can liquefy it, but I'm still considering it chametz. Remarkable. Echad ha'ochel, echad m'macha v'shosa. That's also very important. But I think there's an even more important point than just the fact that the Rambam starts with kares, and even beyond Avi's excellent hayara, that it applies even to shesia as well. But what seems to be the most important point in this Rambam? Hilchos chametz u'matzah, perek aleph, halacha aleph. You know, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. There are opening sentences that live on, that have enormous significance. So what is the remarkable piece of this Rambam? And it goes back to our Heara about the placement within Yad HaChazaka more generally. Ben Sion, go ahead.
I would say the repetition of Bipesach, and then it says Mitchilas Leil Chamisha Sar Ad Sof Yom Lechar V'Yesrim. That is this double emphasis.
Ah, nachas, outstanding. So the Rambam is really saying that this Isser defines the Yom Tif. Kola ochal kezayis bePesach. Now I know when Pesach is because, you know, I took Bible. I know when the holiday is celebrated. And yet the Rambam feels the need to tell me kola ochal kezayis bePesach mitchilas leil chamisha asar. You know, until the fat lady sings, you'll excuse me. You know, ad sof echad veesrim, until, you know, tzeisa kochavim on Yom Tov Achron, you eat kezayis of chametz, you're chayiv karis. It lasts the entire moed. The Rambam is addressing which implicit question that people are going to be raising their hands in the Rambam Shir and saying, you know, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, why didn't you call this Hilchos?
Pesach.
Yeah, and the Rambam says, I did. But I got to the point, which is Chametz bePesach. And what's so incredibly striking about this, and we'll not get to this till tomorrow or Wednesday, but what becomes so much more powerful about this idea that chametz is really what defines the holiday? It's right, it's Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. Well, what's the corresponding notion, which is so much more limited? Leaving the Gra aside for a second, we'll get to the Gra later on. That will wait for second semester. But what only exists for one little night?
Korban Pesach.
Okay, good. And? Relatedly?
Matzah.
So what the Rambam is driving at so powerfully is the notion that this moed is defined by an Isser Chametz. That's incredible. That's extraordinary. Ben Sion, you were sensitive enough, you picked up right on it. Kola ochel kezayis chametz bePesach mitzchilas leil chamishas are ad sof, right? Echad v'esrim, the entire time is defined by this Isser. It carries itself through. Ki kol ochel chametz v'nechrasa echad ochel. For 7 days a year, it's like chametz has completely captivated our attention. Chametz defines the zman. It's in Sefer Zmanim. It's in place of Hilchos Pesach. But better to title it Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. It's a remarkable, remarkable institution. Not even Achila on Yom HaKippurim, not even Achila on Yom HaKippurim reaches this level of definition, because the Rambam reformulated, somebody will remind us, how did the Rambam reformulate the Isser of Achila on Yom HaKippurim? Avi, you want to take a stab at it?
I don't think I have it.
How did the Rambam reformulate the Isser of Achila on Yom Kippur? It's nowhere near as it's shocking, but it's nowhere near as definitional as Isser Achila Chametz Pesach. Shemi, go ahead.
Shabbos from Achila?
Exactly. It's a din in Shvisa. It fits into the broader theme of the day. It's still Shvisa Sazar. So Ben Sion's diok is the controlling diok. It's not just that it's an Isser Chametz that makes you start to believe that this is bigger than just regular Machalos Asuros. And it's not just Echad Ochel and Echad Mimacha Veshosa, though that's important too. It's the idea that an Isser Achila could somehow be the definitional story of a Moed. That, I think, is astonishing. Somebody off the street says, what's this holiday all about? And you say, oh, well, this holiday, it's about, you know, rejecting chametz. Al pi halacha, that is what it's about. Right? The night of the 15th, you have matzah, you have the Karban Pesach, you have Sipur Yetzias, and it's all over. Mitzchilas Leil Chamisha Asar Ad Sof Echad Vesrim. It's a defining story. It's the main event. It's Hilchos Chametz, and then from the world of Chametz, there's something else that emerges called Matzah. And you'll see that Matzah is very much the child of Chametz and not the other way around. That will build up to. So that's already Kuf Tzadi Zayin, in addition to the Yada Chazaka, Aleph, Aleph. Kares, Echad Ochel, Echad Macha Vishosa, and more importantly, Pesach, Mitzchilas Lel Chamisha Asar, all of that is on the table. Okay, Rami, go ahead.